in a bad situation. So we just got to remember them as humans, just like we are. And they have feelings, emotions, desires, but they're stuck in a place where they choose where they choose not to be, and they've just got plenty of time on their hands, plenty of time to think about the meaning of life, what's happened in the past, and maybe some hopes towards the future. So what would you do with plenty of time on your hands? You know, we've experienced when we go into the room, the blocks, you know, when they're let out of the cells, they're sitting around, some of them are walking round and round and round just talking, or they might be in the exercise room or just eating at the tables. But that's only a short period that they're allowed out of their cells. The rest of the time is locked up in their cells where they, okay, I think that they've got TVs in there, but there's plenty of time for thinking, for reading. And we hear from some of the guys that come to our services, you know, that some of them say, I've read the Bible twice, you know, right from the start to the end. It's a great opportunity, even though they've lost their freedom, but for them to discover something more about life that they haven't had time to focus on before. And even though they're in that harsh environment, God is working. So I guess it comes down to they're in an opportunist situation, and we can be part of that by going to be part of this prison ministry. That they do appreciate us coming. We just come and we sing a song, we give a message, read from the Bible, we pray for them and with them, in that we ask what prayer needs they've got, and a lot of their prayer needs are not so much about, you know, their property or anything like that. It's all about relationships. It's about their family that's, you know, in a tough situation out there, or their children. Or in some cases, they even ask for prayer for their victim, the person that they, injured or whatever happened. But, you know, it's even for them, relationships matter. So all I say at the end of this is just, you know, how can you all be involved? And I'd say that's through prayer. You know, we go in there one Sunday a month, but you can pray for us on the fourth Sunday. But there's other prison ministry teams going in every Sunday, and really they're in there every day of their life. So if you can just pray for God's activity within that prison. Thanks.
Far away, if you've got a question. Yes, the remand prisoners are kept separate from the sentenced prisoners, but most of Mount Eden, almost all of it, is remand. Some of them are mental health, so you'll have one group that'll be mental health. You'll have another group that might be younger than others. I'm not sure whether they separate the gangs. They do? Yeah. They do have a women's correctional facility. I think from the statistics there was about 300 women. There's about a tenth of the women. So if there's 10,000 men, there's about 1,000 women. And the bulk of the convictions out there aren't probably what you expect. They're assaults. Younger guys are typically into assault and robbery. When you get towards your 50s and later, that tends to be the sexual offences and the drug offences. So obviously the older guys are getting a bit more clever about trying to make money out of crime or something, I don't know. The younger guys, it seems to be more impetuous sort of stuff. The chaplain tells me that, I don't want to knock the police at all, but the chaplain tells me that what tends to happen is when someone is convicted of a crime, like the young guy I was talking to had beaten up a guy who was abusing his girlfriend. He got convicted of assault and kidnapping because he whacked the guy over the head, and then he put him in his car and, according to him, was driving him to the police station. Unfortunately, the guy was on drugs and he vomited in the back of his car, so he tossed him onto the side of the road. The net effect of that was he got convicted for assault and kidnapping, and he was looking at 14 years in prison. So he came home and a guy was beating up his girlfriend, and he reacted in a way that ended up putting him in jail for 14 years. So what I'm trying to say is that the system, when it can prosecute you for one thing, tends to prosecute you for a whole range of things. And that seems to be a little bit over-enthusiastic, and so these guys are saying, well, I might be guilty of that, but I'm no way I'm not guilty of that and that. So they'll plead not guilty. And as a result of pleading not guilty, they'll end up on remand, waiting for a public defender and all the rest of it. That's the way I see it. I've got no idea. I'm just a visitor. But the question is there much follow-up after prison? And the answer to that is I'm not sure. I believe there is a group that is tasked with that. We're specifically forbidden interaction with a prisoner's families. That's part of the rules of going in there. Anyone tied up with the management of the prisons or the staff can't have anything to do with the prisoners' families outside.
I'd like to just ask everybody to pray that when we are going into the prison, that the messages that we are taking on those days, we've only got a snapshot of a time to do a service. We have two services, and if there's a subject that we are discussing, like last week we were discussing with one of the prisoners in particular about forgiveness, and it's easier for us to forgive, and maybe in our walk and in our Christianity, but these guys have some really huge things that have been done to them when they were right from when they were little, and you horrific things that they are trying to forgive, and it seems to us it's easier for us with what we've been through to forgive those things with our abilities. And so just whatever subject that we are discussing with them and taking to them in a lesson or in a word, or I just pray that they are able to open themselves up and really not leave behind what they're being hanging on to, the sort of need to protect themselves, and that open them up in faith, open them up to that ability to forgive so that they can be forgiven, or any other concept of Christianity that we're trying to teach. And show them, we only have a short amount of time. There are a few people that are hanging on every word that are just so lost, and it would be really great if we could have your backing with it, because we know that it's really worthy.
Some of you may wonder how we feel going in. Initially, we have an orientation that you are taken through the whole system of the airport type security, of your shoes, you take your belts off, the usual things you would do. We only can take our car keys and our ID, and they go into a box and are locked in with the guards. They don't go into the prison area where we are talking to them. We will get new IDs soon that we can wear around our necks. I wouldn't be wearing this. I think God had a decision that I should wear this morning. I didn't even think about it, and it does look a little bit prisony. We're not allowed scarves, and you can work out why, like the pens. So there are little conditions that we learn about for our own safety and to prevent any unpleasantness in once we're there. We sometimes even get prayed for by the prisoners. They ask if they can pray for us. Most of them shake our hands as they come into the room, and they have to sign a paper to say they've been there. I think they get some points or something, don't they? Or some credit for having been as well. And when they leave again, we get a shake. And I'm always offered a chair. I think I'm the older generation. But we do get warmth from quite a few. We get some who sit there quite sullenly, but they're there. Some of them want to pray for the prisoners out that didn't come, what they're missing out on. So they're not just for themselves. A lot of them are sharing. And we decided last week, after quite a lot of talk, waiting for the rest of the groups to finish, to all be herded out of the building, we really felt that they had, the ones that come, and you do get to know some of the faces, they have a liaison amongst themselves. They have a little bit of a support group because they know the others are comfortable to come and hear the love of God and the Christianity that's there for them if they take it up. And a lot have their own little Bible with them. Thank you.
Just a couple of quick things. I believe that the Word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I think that spending 5 or 10 minutes sharing the word with these guys, you're sharing something that's alive and active in these men's lives. So that's why I think the ministry is really important. However, as Judy and I have talked about our time in prison, we were filled with compassion for the men that we were among. But then we thought, well, it's kind of like a little project. It's this half an hour in one block and then half an hour in another and a bit of overhead kind of getting in the door. You know, it's like an airport. It's very complex getting in and out between wings and things. But then we thought, well, it's kind of like a little program. We can get to 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. It's kind of finished. But we have needs and, you know, people needing compassion and service in our lives every day. And we find that those things are challenging. The prison ministry is fantastic. It's really powerful, but it's there are other things in people's lives that we can't switch off at 11 o'clock on a Sunday. They're with us all the time. So I just challenge you, those who can't be involved in prison ministry, just to look out for those people in need among us that we work with, that we worship with, or that we're in our families, that need our support, and that we can't just we can't negate our obligations to those people. So I challenge you anyway to look out for people who are in need. They're all in the whole community is full of people like that. So that's a challenge for you all. Thank you.
Many of you will have seen this cross. It's in our McPherson room. This cross was given to Grey Friars Sunday School in 1952 by the residents of His Majesty's Prison, Mount Eden. So every time you're in the room and you see that, you might be able to think about the prisoners. It's a constant reminder and among us of those who are in the prison.
So just to fill in a few gaps, I think there's about 40-odd prisoners in each wing.
60 maybe.
Maybe 60. When we enter there aren't any chairs. So when we enter there, they will spend a bit of time trying to get chairs for us. They have a lot of respect. They will sit on the floor, and particularly the ladies will get a chair. So sometimes we speak to about 20. So we've spoken to as few as one. Normally about four of us go in. So the first time we went in there, we had about 26 actually in the first group. It was amazing. There was a guy sitting on the floor whose face was covered in tattoos, and he looked pretty scary. And while we were sharing, I think John was speaking on forgiveness. While we were sharing, that guy broke down in tears in front of all his mates, and it was a really moving a time. And he was deeply convicted of God and of Jesus. You could perhaps reflect on the fact that one night Jesus was with his friends in a dark place, and suddenly he was surrounded by armed soldiers who arrested him and took him away to prison. He didn't say anything. He was accused of crimes he didn't commit, but he knew who did commit them. He worried about his mother, he worried about his friends, and he wondered if he'd see justice. And I think perhaps maybe that's why he's so adamant that he said, "When I was in prison, why didn't you come and see me?" Yeah, well, that's not working either. I'd just like to leave you with Psalm 27, which is a psalm that has been convicted me to do with mercy ministry, what I'm calling mercy ministries, because as Mike said, it's not just about prison, it's about other things. I'll just read a few little snippets from this psalm. "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Even if my father and my mother have abandoned me, the Lord will hold me close. "Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done, and every breath they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous." So through this, I've had a theme of the desert running. You might not have noticed, but when I go in that place, it's like you're in a desert and you're offering a drop of water. And it doesn't matter what you've got to offer, it gets sucked up. It doesn't matter if you're trying to teach a guy how to add, or if you're trying to teach him how to write, or if you're giving him a hint of guidance as to how to live a life. So I just want to leave you with a thought. I'm going to ask if the team would come up and people would pray for us. But the thought I had is, how do we reach the people in the community that also need help? They have a gambling problem, or a marriage problem, or an unexpected pregnancy, or financial woes, or the homesick, heartbroken, grieving. They've got mental health issues. They've got a broken car, or a plumbing problem. So for a church, I think Mercy Ministries could get involved with something like that. How do we do this?
I just really feel that as a congregation, we would really love you to support us. And from the very first time that, for me personally, that we went in, I had no fear, and prior to that thought, I was going to feel very afraid. And I just know it's because our congregation are praying for us. So I'd love for you to all to stand. And if there are a few that would like to come forward and actually place your hands upon us and pray for us. And then every fourth Sunday when we're in, we would just love for you, even just in your own time, to be praying for us. But the other Sundays, praying for the other groups that are going in. Because prayer is mighty and powerful, and for God all things are possible.
Church, I feel a strong sense of coming forth myself. They say of this, what our mercy ministry team do, the real work starts when they're released from prison, or when they're released from the remand centre. What my church colleagues have shared is what I do Monday to Friday, and I do Saturday and Sunday. Last year the police approached me to do something similar. They say in a controlled environment is the prison, or in the remand centre around the country. And there are sad stories come out when they're down and out and they're vulnerable. They plead out for God, for Jesus Christ. So my hand goes out to this team here. But the real work I ask as I see, when they come out through the system, they will ask for this church to continue the fellowship because they've built a rapport who they trusted to confide. We've heard this Māori man break down and cry. Are we ready to continue the journey to bring them closer to God? To bring them closer to God. The system is there, but are we as a church ready for the next step, next phase? I share that as well, what I do. There are so many things going on in the world today that causes these men and women to sin, break the law, but in turn to their children. Their children go through Korowa Manaaki, the youth system. Used to be SIFS, is now called Invocot, Ministry of Vulnerable Children, or Oranga Tamariki. The system will be there, but are we as a church ready to administer? I share this. Police ask me, so I do it Saturday, Sunday. I'm supposed to have someone for us that was supposed to come from Ōtara. When I said to the police, I'll do it for them, but I'm getting people from around Auckland that are fed from Ōtara. And, you know, it's like, Lord, I can't do it by myself. But I heard my team up here, I'm part of this. So we got to give. So let us pray. Let us pray. Fa whaere atu ora nei teimi wa tuena mai mātou whaarongonongo. Whaarongonongo mō te māti nā o maua popo ngā tia whalipuipui, e lēnā au ki rani e whapena whae laulangi ātua. Heavenly Father, we ask and we pray for your Holy Spirit to hear the men and women that are incarcerated or put on remand, wherever the word is, God, they have been taken away their right to be free, the free that you gave to them, Lord, when they were born into this world. Father, we ask for this ministry team here right now, through your Holy Spirit, Father, that you say things to them that will help these families move forward, for they too have families out here in the community. Father, we pray for all those that outreach the services out there that go to these people and through their spirit. And Father, that they do hear the word when they read your good word, the Holy Bible, Father, that they continue to bring themselves closer to you. Father, we pray for the ministry of this group, this organization, Father, because John Malcolm, our reverend, is there to lead this. Father, Auckland or Mount Eden is known for Mount Eden, the highest point in Auckland, Father. We know that there's a connectedness. The prisoners before have carved something or done a cross to remember them of us. Father, we pray for each and everyone here. Father, things that are not of you, Father, that you guide and support this lovely church that we have in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father.
If anyone wants to join the team, you're most welcome to. And also, if you have any ideas, one of the neat things about this is I'm not a very good person at making things happen, but I had an idea, and John and a few others kept prompting and pushing and prodding, and things finally got off the ground. It took us about a year to get approval, believe it or not, to get into the prison. So it's not necessarily joining that, but if we can help others, especially once they get out, things like that. So if you've got a heart for this, talk to John, and we'll try and get something going.